The following message is brought to you by Christian Sermons Online, broadcasting Christ-centered messages around the world 24 hours a day. Check us out at christiansermonsonline.com.
Evangelist Jimmy Swaggart has been called the Lord to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world.
Библия говорит, и начали все как бы извиняться.
如果灵就立即拎开手, 那邪灵立刻离开他。
Hunderte, Hunderte, ich meine, ohne Übertreibung sagen zu können, dass Tausende erfüllt wurden.
Neno Pentecoste, katika kigiriki, laimamisha hamsini.
Shikashi, jiman wa takaburi no tsumi.
Al-anwan mawjood ala shasha, hunak asmun jadid, sushila fil majid.
This commitment to world evangelism is further demonstrated each day by the compassionate outreach of child care ministries and the training of laborers for the harvest at JSB C&S. The things that are freely given to us by God are revealed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. The subject of today's message from the Raleigh, North Carolina Crusade. We take you now to the Raleigh Civic Center, where the atmosphere is charged with excitement in anticipation of today's service.
And now, let me present to you your evangelist, my dad, Jimmy Swaggart.
Give the Lord a hand. Jesus is his name, worthy of all praise and all glory. Kings, Lord of lords, fairest of 10,000s, bright in the morning star, Savior of man and baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you so much. The Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years of age. I have depended on Him from that day until this for instruction, for guidance, for wisdom, for knowledge, for power, for strength, for help. When He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, friend, He meant it. There have been times that Satan has said, I've got you now, but the Holy Spirit would pull us out by His grace and by His love. I'm not talking about someone that I've read about. I'm talking about someone that I know, that I fellowship with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hallelujah. Oh yes, come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Oh yes, come. Holy Spirit, I will always pray. Come in Thy strength and Thy mighty power. Come in Thine own gentle way. I want to sing that chorus again, and I know that some of you are sitting here tonight or today, and you're hurting. Jimmy Swaggart doesn't know what the situation is, and maybe few other people do, maybe no one does, but God does. And as we sing it again, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and take control. Come, Holy Spirit, I need. Yes, come. Holy Spirit, I will always pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. In thine own gentle way. I want you to stand and sing it. His presence is all over this room. Hallelujah. I want you to let his presence fill your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you say, I'm a Christian, and you're not accustomed to worshiping him, shame on you. Shame on you. Just worship him as we sing it. Come,
Holy Spirit, I need thee.
Father, right now I sense the flow of the Spirit in my heart that tells me to pray for those that are bound by nicotine, those that are bound by cigarettes or nicotine in any shape, form, or fashion. In the name of Jesus Christ, for every person here that wants their life to be a testimony, that knows that their body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and they want to quit smoking. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over nicotine. I take authority over this bondage. I take authority over this power of darkness. Satan, these people belong to God. They do not belong to you anymore. You are trespassing. So I command in the name of Jesus that the bondage be loosed right now. The craving be taken away. The nerves be healed. The parts of the body that cigarette has damaged be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Be it done now. In the name of Jesus. In the holy and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand. Don't halfway do it. I want us all over this place to just take your time. It's going to be a great day. I'm telling you, hell is trembling right now. Demons are shaking all over right now. Angels are starting to shout right now. Heaven's getting geared up for a camp meeting right now. And I want you to shake hands with about a dozen people and tell them, You're so glad to see them here today. Will you do it? Well, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Sweet, sweet by and far. Going to be with you on the air and home beyond the sky. The singing we will hear together with my voice is glorious. I do declare God's own shine is a leading water and a meeting in the air. Yeah! Oh,
Jimmy Swaggart delivers today's message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. He's talking about the child of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I want to read that again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And I want to use for a subject the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. In a major Pentecostal Bible college some time ago, the leader of the college, the president of the school, made this statement. He said that the reason the Holy Spirit is given unto the child of God is to help him be a witness and to help him win souls. And that is basically all that it is for. No man could ever be more wrong. And I want to say that again. No man could ever be more wrong. If we think that the only reason that the Holy Spirit is given unto us is to witness to lost souls, then we sadly misunderstand the work, the labor, and the power and the mission of the Holy Spirit within our hearts and within our lives. Admittedly, He certainly does help us win souls. We thank God for that and will ever thank Him for that, but that is only a part of the function that is within one's heart and within one's life concerning the Holy Spirit. Luke wrote in the book of Acts and said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Now, he didn't say that you would do witnessing, as important as that is, as all significant as that is. But he said that you would witness unto me. And this means a state of being, a place that the Holy Spirit will help you to attain. Every part of your life becomes a witness of Jesus Christ. The very spirit of your life speaks of Jesus. And I want to say it again, your very being, a state of being, once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, makes you literally, everything that you do, a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that every single recipient of the Holy Spirit speaks with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I do not believe there are any exceptions. I believe the Bible bears that out. However, the greatest gift that you will receive once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues as helpful, needful, as strengthening as that is. Speaking in tongues is something that I do, I think I can say without any exaggeration, every day of my life. And I dare not minimize the significance of it. However, that is not by far it isn't the most important thing that happens to you once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The most important thing that takes place in your life once you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And incidentally, before I finish that sentence, I believe that the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is subsequent to salvation. It is an experience separate, different, and apart from being saved. When you're saved, you are born of the Spirit. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in the Spirit. There is a difference than being born in the Spirit than being baptized in the Spirit. Somebody said, when you get saved, you get it all. Honey, you don't get it all when you get the Holy Spirit. You don't ever get it all. The Holy Spirit is not a goal that you arrive at, and once you have it, it's there, and you have it, and it's all. But it's a gateway to the riches of Christ, a gateway to the things of God that literally boggle the mind and pass all understanding. Some would say, Brother Swaggart, I'm saved, but I do not speak in tongues. Are you telling me I don't have the Holy Spirit? No, I'm not telling you that at all. It would be scripturally and theologically wrong for me to say such a thing. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. You can't get anything from God without the Holy Spirit playing a part in it. When you're a sinner without God, unsaved, lost, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger to the promises, and whenever you are convicted of your sins, the high sheriff of heaven lays a warrant on you for your spiritual arrest. That is the Holy Spirit that does that. It's the Holy Ghost that wakes you up, that touches you, that stirs you. When you're standing there, sir, in that bar with that can of beer in your hand, and all of a sudden you're thinking about a mother that's praying for you, or a wife that's seeking God on your behalf. Those are not just idle thoughts. That's the Holy Ghost that's bringing it to your mind and bringing it to your remembrance and bringing it to your spirit. The moment you get saved, it's the Spirit of God that prompts you, that urges you, that pushes you, that speaks to you, that witnesses to you, that touches you, that tenderly woos you. Whenever you get saved, it's the work of God, the Holy Ghost, that performs the regenerative process, the reconciliatorial process. Let's say it all again. It's the Holy Ghost that reconciles you to God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that works the work through Jesus Christ within your heart and within your life. So when you say, I'm saved and I have the Holy Spirit, why, certainly you do. You better know that you have the Holy Spirit. He's there, but there is a difference, as I've said, in being born of the Spirit than being baptized in the Spirit, than being baptized in the Holy Ghost. What I'm talking about is for power. The first one for salvation is for regeneration. The second one is for a revolution within your heart and within your life. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, speaking in tongues is not the most important thing. That will happen. It'll become a part of your very being, your very nature. But that's not the most important thing that will happen to you. The most important thing that will happen to you once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit is that an awareness of Jesus Christ, a love for Jesus Christ, a reality of Jesus Christ will come to you in a way that you've never known Him before. He said, speaking of the Holy Ghost, He shall glorify me. That is His mission on earth. It is not to glorify Himself, the Holy Spirit. It is not to lift up Himself, the Holy Spirit. It is not to aggrandize Himself, the Holy Spirit, but it is to lift up Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to put a worship in your heart for Jesus, a glorification of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't make the mistake of thinking that you will become dehumanized. You won't. Now hear me carefully. Some Christians think, some denominational people think, well, if you are baptized, whatever you call it, in the Holy Spirit, then you're teaching that you'll never have any problems with the flesh anymore, and you'll never have any problems with sin anymore, you'll never have any problems with whatever anymore. That's not what we teach. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not dehumanized, you're still human. Now let me help you a little bit. If you have trouble with a bad temper before you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have trouble with a bad temper probably after you're filled with the Spirit. Now let me say that again. I said it kind of clipped. If you have trouble with an uncontrollable temper before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, more than likely you're going to still have trouble with that bad temper after you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you've got a problem with jealousy or envy or malice before you're filled with the Spirit, you'll probably still have trouble with jealousy and envy and malice and stubbornness or whatever after you're filled with the Spirit. You're not dehumanized. A lot of people receive the Holy Spirit and think, well, when I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, then it's nothing but smooth sailing from here on out. It's nothing but spiritual cloud nine from here on out. I know I'll sprout wings and all of my problems are over. I'll be a little angel or a big one, whatever. You say, well, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Yes, you'll still be human, but the difference is you will now have a power that you once did not have within your heart and within your life. You will now have a helper, a helper, a helper. That's what the word comforter means. You will have a helper that's within your heart and within your life after you've been filled with the Spirit that you've never had before. Glory to God. And I might as well just level with you. After you're filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, He's still going to have a problem with you. Let's just face it. Now, I've seen people get filled with the Spirit and instantly they were delivered from whatever they had problems with. But I've seen a whole lot more that did not get instantly delivered. These pastors can attest to that. But the Holy Spirit does not leave you. He does not fly away. When you get into trouble, and honey, you're going to get into trouble as long as you're in this veil of flesh. When you get into trouble, the Holy Spirit is not going to wash His hands of you and run away. He's going to bow up at the powers of darkness, and He's going to stand closer to you than He has stood ever before when you need His help. Glory to God. When the devil's got you backed against the wall, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. When all of the demons of hell seem to have camped upon your doorstep, the Holy Spirit does not leave you. He will not leave you. If the devil knocks you down, the Holy Ghost will pick you up. If the devil kicks you, the Holy Spirit will pick you up. If He will give you power, the Bible says. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit can live with some things a human being can't live with. I'm not going to explain that. I'm just going to leave it hanging. I'm trying to tell you something, friend. When He comes into your heart and life, you ought to walk a perfect life. You ought to live a perfect life. There is no excuse for you to sin. There is no reason for you to fail. But being human, you'll stub your toe and stumble more than likely. But the Holy Spirit will stand by your side. He'll fill your heart. He'll hold to your trembling hand. He'll pick you up. He'll clean you off. He'll start you back toward that road of glory and that road of victory. He'll be there, and He will not leave. Glory to God. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise. No, I'm not preaching some sinning religion. I don't believe in that. But I know people. Jesus said more about the Holy Spirit the last week of His earthly ministry than He did the entire 3.5 years all put together previously. Let me say it again. The last 3.5 years, or the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, He said almost nothing about the Holy Spirit. And the reason He didn't was because He was there with His disciples in person. He was there personally with them. But the last week of His earthly sojourn, He cram-packed that week into teaching about the Holy Spirit. You'll find it in St. John 14, 15, and 16. And there are two or three things that He said that I want you to grasp today, and I know that you know it. But first of all, He said this in the 14th chapter, the 20th verse. He said, at that day you shall know. And when He says at that day, what is He talking about? He's talking about after He has been crucified, risen from the dead, and ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and the Holy Spirit has come down, as He has sent back the Holy Spirit to live within the hearts and the lives of believers. That's the day that he's talking about. The 20th verse, the 14th chapter of St. John, he said, at that day you shall know. And that's the first thing that happens to you once you're baptized of the Holy Spirit. You shall know. Know what? Well, before I tell you what you'll know, let me say this. A little 6, 7, 8-year-old girl that's baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit knows more about God than the most brilliant professor here at your university that's not saved and doesn't know Jesus. I want to say it again because I don't think you quite got that. A little child. I've got two little grandsons. Both of them are Spirit-filled, Matthew and Gabriel. One is 9 and one is 8. And those boys, saved and filled with the Spirit, know more about the Bible, know more about God, know more about Jesus Christ, know more about the Holy Spirit, know more about the work of God than the most brilliant professor that is not saved, does not know Jesus Christ, has not been born again, the most brilliant professor in any university in the world. You might say, well, I don't understand that. Well, because the spiritual things are not discerned with a carnal mind. They are discerned spiritually. So he said, you will know. Now, know what? What will you know? Will you know everything all of a sudden? You're now baptized in the Spirit. And you'll know everything about chemistry, about trigonometry, about geopolitics, about world affairs. No. That's not what he's saying. Do you mean to say if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll just automatically know how to fly an airplane? No. If you think that, I'm not getting in there with you. You will know, but what kind of knowledge is he talking about? What type of know does he speak of? He said, in that day, you shall know. And this is what he said. He said, you shall know that I am in my Father. That's what you'll know. That's deity. He said, you won't argue about whether Jesus is the Son of God. Right here in some churches, I'll guarantee you, in Raleigh, North Carolina, preachers stood up this morning and they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They do not believe he was born of the Virgin Mary. They do not believe he died on Calvary and rose from the dead the third day and now is ascended and seated on the right hand of the Father. They don't know it. I want to say it again. They don't know. And I'm going to be a little blunt. You're a fool if you go to their churches. You're out of your mind if you listen to their prattle. You're a fool if you sit and listen to them. Because the first thing you're going to know once you get filled with the Spirit is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I am in the Father. Glory to God. He is Jehovah. He is Jesus. He is the one that brought the promises. He is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You'll know that I am in the Father. That's deity. You'll know that God wrapped himself up in the habiliments of human flesh, walked down the starry steps from heaven, was born of woman in a mud hole called Bethlehem, and grew in wisdom and stature, and as a man faced the devils of hell and never sinned. You'll know that. You'll know that with the power of the Holy Ghost, he performed miracles and he cast out devils and healed the sick and raised the dead. You'll know that they put him on a tomb, put him on a cross, but you'll know something else. You'll know that he said, kill this body, and in 3 days I'm going to bring it back. I will bring it forth again. You'll know that he's no longer in that tomb. He is God. Well, why are you belaboring the issue? I'll tell you why I'm belaboring the issue. Because everything hinges on that. He defeated every devil of hell. Every victory he won was for you and me. He faced the devil and won the victory. Thank God I know that now. Thank God I know Jimmy Swaggart doesn't have to do it now. Jimmy Swaggart doesn't have to laboriously try to do it now. I know Jesus did it for me. Jesus paid it all. I don't have to fight the devil because Jesus has already fought him. And Jesus has already whipped him. And Jesus has already defeated him. I don't have to win the victory. Jesus Christ has already won the victory for me. Glory to God. That means there is no bondage of hell that Jesus Christ cannot deliver you from. Glory to God. He said, I am in the Father. He said, before Abraham was, I am. You'll know that. You'll know that. You'll know that. Hallelujah. He said, you'll know that I'm in the Father. And you will know that you are in me. Ooh. You are in Jesus. Whenever Satan rolls up his sleeve and he doubles up his fist and he takes a swipe at you, he's taking a swipe at Jesus Christ. Glory, 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 glory. He said, I'm in the Father and you are in me. Devil, I want you to hear me. I'm no longer in Jimmy Swaggart. I'm no longer in a religion. I'm no longer in a denomination, but I am in Jesus. I am in Jesus. I am in Jesus. Do you catch the import of that? I don't care how many churches you belong to. If you're not in Jesus, you're nowhere. You can be a deacon in the First Presbyter Baptist Methodist Pentecostal Religious Holy Roller, whatever. But until you get in Jesus, until you get in Jesus, when you get in Jesus, you're saved. When you get in Jesus, you're washed. When you get in Jesus, you're cleansed. When you get in Jesus, you're free. When you get in Jesus, the bondages are broken. He said, you are in me. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think you're fighting this thing by yourself. You aren't. When he kicks you, he's kicking Jesus. And if you don't know that, you're in trouble. But glory. You know, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. Remember that? Put on the whole armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with peace, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, loins girt about with truth. Shield of faith, sword of the... You know what I'm talking about. Don't you know? Okay, think about it now. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the clothes of God. That's what he says. Put on God's clothes. Put on God's suit. Put on God's helmet. You have God's helmet on. You've got God's coat on. You've got God's shoes on. You've got God's clothes on. And when the devil sees you coming, he doesn't know. He thinks it's God. Because you look like God. You act like God. You walk like God. You talk like God. He thinks it's Jesus. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory to God!
I never felt so secure in all of my life. My Lord, I've never felt so secure. Oh, my, 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 my. I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. He's in the Father, and I'm in Jesus. So that means I'm in the Father, too. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I am seated at the Father in heavenly places, blessed by God with all the power of the Holy Ghost. I know four or five of you here can't shout. You're tired. You've been rooting for the New York Giraffes, and you're tired. Or the Charlotte Monkeys, or whatever they call themselves. Oh, hallelujah! What a thought! Jesus' full salvation brought. Victory, yes, victory. You'll know! I'm in Jesus. Man, that's something. Can you whistle? I can't. Hallelujah. You'll know that I'm in the Father and you're in me. And then he said something else. You'll know that I'm in the Father and you're in me, and I am in you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm in you. That means when you walk up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed by the power of Almighty God. It's the same thing as Jesus laying hands on the sick. It's the same thing as Jesus laying his hands. It's the same thing as Jesus saying, devil, you're defeated. When you say, Satan, get thee behind me. It's the same thing as Jesus saying it, because he is in us. Once you get this truth, woo, once you get it, my, 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 this is called the divine entanglement. I'm all wrapped up in him. He's all wrapped up in me. And Satan can't hit me without hitting him. He cannot strike me without striking him. And devil, I'm glad I know it now, that he's in the Father and Jesus is in me and I'm in him. And that day you shall know. If you can get it, church, if you can catch it, victory is yours. Now, if you try to fight this battle by yourself, you're in trouble. You're not going to make it. Your own righteousness, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. But once you realize that he's in the Father and he's in us and we're in him, we're in him and he's in us. When you know that, oh glory, you'll say, Jesus, that boy of mine that's out there on marijuana, he's coming in. He's coming in. He's going to get saved. That girl that's drifted off into sin and shame, she's going to get saved. Glory to God. My unsaved husband is coming to Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I will not take no for an answer, because you're in the Father, and I'm in you, and you're in me. Boy, we've just caught a little glimpse of this, and we've shaken the world with it. I predict this bunch that Jesus Christ is raising up now, they're going to know that he's in the Father and he's in us and we're in him. You'll know. Glory to God. Ooh, that's so good. In your Bibles in St. John 16:23, if you're, in case some of you are taking medicine, it's 5 p.m. He said, and in that day, you shall ask me nothing. He's talking to his, in that day, he says it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You'll know and you'll ask. You know, I just thought, I didn't think of it. God knows my heart when I came over here and sat down to rest a little bit. He said, you'll ask. When I was 8 years old, I heard that. I was saved and filled with the Spirit when I was 8 years old. And I believe that whatever you ask Him, He would do it. I was a child. I didn't understand a lot of the doubts and the unbelief. I just knew He said, ask. So one night I was the evangelist in our little church, little tiny thing. It wasn't as big as... It was about as, I don't know, big as that center aisle there, if it was that large. I was seated by my dad, and the evangelist could play a piano. He's still a very dear friend of mine. He could play a piano. He was very proficient, efficient. And I sat there, and I said, Lord, I started to ask Him. I said, I want you to give me the talent to play the piano. That's what I asked Him. All while He was preaching, I was praying. I was saying, Lord, I want you to give me the talent to play the piano. I would get a little loud at times, and my dad would punch me and quieten down, Jimmy. Well, if he'd have known what I was asking for, he would have told me to pray louder. But of course, your loud praying it really doesn't do the job. And I said, Lord, if you will give me the talent, I'd never sit down to a piano in my life. If you will give me the talent to play the piano, I will forever use it for your glory. I will never use it in the world. All I knew was a nightclub. I was a kid. I said, I will never play in a nightclub ever in all of my life. I was a child. That's all I knew. I could not wait for the message to end. I'm talking about faith. I mean, I couldn't wait. I walked up to the piano after the service. Didn't have a beautiful grand like this. It was an old upright, you know, and the thing was half out of tune. And I looked at those keys, 88 of them. The blacks and the whites, and I didn't know anything about them. And I laid my fingers on the keyboard. Can you give me a little sound in this thing? That's about all I did. That's all I did. I started practicing and he started helping me. He's a helper. Then a little later I started doing this. Then I practiced a little more and he kept on helping me and I started doing this. Then I thought, if I can do that, I can do this. Hallelujah. You might say, I don't like it. I don't care. I sold 13 million albums with it. Hallelujah! 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 If you ever go to Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, it was records, tapes that from the piano and the singing that built that church. Seat 7,000 people. you look at the Bible College there, the buildings, A.N. Trotter Building, the Ketchum Building, and the Mark Montaigne Building, and the other one named after my mother, it was built out of that. A little eight-year-old kid sitting there and saying, would you give me the talent to play the piano, and I'll use it for your glory. You'll ask. I want the news media to hear this. I want the news media to hear this. We've sold $150 million worth of records, and none of the money has stuck to these fingers or in these pockets. Every dime of it has gone to take this gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Every single dollar, every single dime, every single nickel, every single penny of it. I mean, Francis and I, about all we have is what we have on our back. That's about it, friend. My grandkids have no trust funds. I own no stock, no bonds. It's just a good time to put in a plug. I have no businesses. The only business I have is preaching this gospel. We have a house that will be paid for in the year 2017. And if Jesus doesn't come before then, I've had it. That's all we've got. That's it. You talk about this lavish lifestyle, all we do is work 25 hours a day, 8 days a week for the Lord Jesus Christ. My son is sitting right there. He's never gotten anything from the records, not one dime or dollar. Because God gave me the talent, God taught me how to play, God gave me what little voice I have, and I can say I've used it for His glory to win souls for Jesus. You shall ask! You shall ask, he said. I've got to tell you this. It'll help your faith a little bit. I won't take much more. What? Oh, okay. I'm going to go by Baton Rouge time. It's 5 minutes after 4 o'clock in Baton Rouge. The car we now drive, a dear Christian businessman gave it to us. It's 2 years old. Francis is 2 years. He gave it to us and gave it to the ministry and paid for it. He lives in Tennessee. That's the reason when Dudley sings, that's the kind of God that I serve. I say, He's the God in New York City and He's a God in Tennessee. He's a God in Raleigh, North Carolina, and He's God all over me. Okay. When Francis and I married, we didn't even have a bicycle. I'm serious. We didn't have a bicycle. Yesterday, day before yesterday, a dear brother gave me a pair of shoes, beautiful pair of shoes. I'm serious, he did. And I said, brother, I pray, he owns about 16 shoe stores here in North Carolina. I said, brother, I pray that God will just give you shoes back. He said, no, don't pray that. Pray I'll sell them. I've already got shoes up to my eyeballs. I don't want any shoes. Pray I'll sell what I've got. Okay, we are. And he was very dear and very gracious and very kind. We didn't have a car. We didn't have anything. And so my grandmother was my Bible school. She was my seminary. She was my Bible college. She was my Bible school. She was the whole thing. She didn't charge anything either. That woman had faith that words could not begin to describe. She would sit me down, which is correct grammar. Well, anyway, I was on the floor. She would sit me down. And I mean, she would literally drill into me faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She would say, Jimmy, Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. St. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. St. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. She pumped it into me, poured it into me. She said, one day you will preach to the biggest crowds in the world. Hundreds of thousands will be saved. And she told me other things that I will not relate. But getting back to my little story, she one day announced, and that's the way my grandmother did, I called her Nanny. To the day Jesus took her home to glory, I called her Nanny. And Nanny said, sit down, Jimmy. I went over to her house every day when Francis and I first married, and we would pray, have a prayer meeting. She said, I have decided that you need a car. And we are going to pray today that God is going to give you a car. I thought, a car? I didn't have enough money to buy shoelaces. I didn't even have a job. But my grandmother says, we are going to ask the Father. And I was just married, sitting there, bug-eyed, listening to her. And when she would start talking about faith, her face would light up. I mean, her countenance would illuminate. And she said, now we're going to go down and pray and we're going to agree together that God's going to give you a car. I said, okay. I got on my knees. I can still see it. When she prayed, she always prayed just like this. She would get on her knees and stand and kneel bolt upright, her back just ramrod straight. If she'd have been in the army, she'd have been a general. She just like this, and she would pray, and she would call out to God. And I was over there kneeling down beside the couch. Now, are you with me? Give me about 5 more minutes, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop. I started getting real religious in my praying. You ever done that? What do you mean getting real religious? I started getting very religious in my praying. I started telling the Lord how humble I was. Now that's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? Then I said, now Lord, if you don't want me to have a car, if it's not your will for me to have a car, I will. Francis and I were just starting an evangelistic work. No one knew us. I mean, no preacher knew us anywhere in the world. And yet I was called to be an evangelist, and I'd preach anywhere, street corners anywhere. And I said, Lord, if you want me to hitchhike to my meetings, I will do it. And I got very religious with my prayer. That all sounds good, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this religious praying that Jesus Christ couldn't care less about, my grandmother, I heard her. She was shouting. She had quit praying, and she turned around to me and said, Jimmy, shut up. You're telling God you'll walk? Boy, you're walking now. You don't have to tell him you'll walk. You're walking now, boy. It's obvious. Everybody sees it. You tell him you're hitchhiking now, man. Tell him you want a car. You cut out that kind of praying. You ask him for a car. Tell him what color you want. Tell him what model you want. Tell him how much gasoline you want it to hold, how many miles to the gallon. You turn around there, boy, and you ask him for an automobile. Now, I know I just upset some of your theology. I realize that. And some of you just... Church, do you hear me? You shall ask. And you'll get it, he said. I turned around there, and man, I felt like a whipped dog. I said, Lord, I need a car. Nanny said I did. Francis said I did. I need a car, Lord, and I want one that'll get good gas mileage. Because that's what Nanny said I ought to ask for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. I'm serious. God hears me. Within a week's time, I had an automobile, and that thing would get 100 miles to the gallon, I guess, or something close to it. Glory. You shall ask. I'm not going to preach the last point. I'm tired. And y'all have taken about all you can handle anyway. You now know, and you will ask. In St. John 14:12, he said, you shall do. He said, these works shall ye do, and greater works shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. That's a third one. I don't have any more time, but I'm going to take another 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Got to hurry. You shall do. That's the reason I know we're going to make it. That's the reason I know we're going to touch this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me be very quick. I was in a great, well, I'll say the city, Detroit, Michigan. We were there for 5 weeks. Was it the last one? I believe it was the last one. A 9-week meeting in one church. Girl comes up. She's about 13 or 14 years old. She says she had an old ratty coat. It was an old ratty thing that it must not have cost $5. And I found out later that she came from the poorest of the poor. Her parents were alcoholics. She had come to that church, come to the meeting, and she'd caught a glimpse of Jesus. And she came every night. If she could get a ride with somebody, she would do it. And if she couldn't, she'd hitchhike. And it's dangerous for a girl to hitchhike. But she was so hungry for God. I found out this all later. And she came up and said, Brother Swaggart, I'm blind. I believe it was her right eye. I'm not sure. I think it was her right eye. She said, I'm blind in my eye. I want you to pray that Jesus will heal me. She said, I've been listening to you for a month, and I believe he'll heal me. I'm not going to say it was the big evangelist that had the big faith. I think it was the faith of that child. I know it was. I'll be honest with you. I laid hands on her. Scared me to death. I'd never seen a blinded eye open. I looked at her. It was all milked over, and it was pitiful. And she was a very pretty young girl. She walked away, and about, I don't know, a minute later, that church exploded. The associate pastor screamed out at me, Brother Swaggart, there's been a miracle. This child's eye has just opened. She can see. I'm going to be honest with you. It scared me. I mean, it scared me. It scared me. I called her up to me, and that eye was as perfect as the other. I went over the corner, and I was shaking all over. I was so fearful. I'd seen a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost that I'd never seen. You shall do. Now, let me close it. I was back there, I guess 10 years later, not at the church, but in the great Cobo Arena. I don't know what it'll seat, 15,000, I guess. Cobo Arena in Detroit. We'd had a great service that night. Thousands, thousands, thousands there. When I was trying to get back to leave out, it must have been after 10 o'clock, hundreds of people that had been saved in those previous meetings were there. And this one was shaking hands, and this one was so kind, and it was hundreds of them. And all of a sudden, I looked up and there was a young lady standing there. And she said, Brother Swagger, don't you remember me? And I looked at her and I said, no. She said, you don't remember? I said, no. She said, it didn't come back. I couldn't remember it. She said, and then it hit me. I said, you are that girl? She was a beautiful girl, 24 years old now, I guess. She said, yes, I'm the one, still saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. My eyes still perfect in Jesus. You'll know, you'll ask, you'll do. The Holy Spirit, would you bow your heads, please? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the holy name. Hallelujah. Handa sakila hatarababa shikatorobobobose. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Praise this holy name. How many in this building, Brother Swaggart, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Will you slip up your hand? I want everyone in the building to stand. Everybody standing. Everybody standing, please. Glory, hallelujah. Why don't you come to these waters? There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. I want each one of you, please, that raised your hands from the bleachers, the balconies, the main floor, I want you to come up here and stand. Thank God, well, there is a river. Down the aisles when we fill up the front. You to look at Brother Swagger, please. I want you, but television, to look as well. About nearly 20 years ago, 1970, the Lord told me to do what I'm doing now. And don't misunderstand, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit many ways. But this is the way he told me to do it, and this is what I do. And we've seen tens of thousands filled with the Holy Ghost. Number one, as I mentioned in the message, we believe that every recipient of the Holy Spirit, without exception, speaks with other tongues when they are filled. We believe it's biblical, we believe it's scriptural. No exceptions. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Spirit, but we believe it is the physical evidence. There will be many other evidences, plural, many other evidences or much evidence that you have been baptized in the Spirit. But the initial physical evidence is speaking with other tongues. We believe the Bible bears this out as well, as the Spirit gives the utterance. Number two, you have come up here to receive a gift called the Holy Spirit. It is actually called a gift. You shall, Acts 2:38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. A gift is a gift. You don't earn it. You're not worthy of it. You haven't measured up to it. You did nothing for it. But a generous benefactor says, I want to give it to you. And all you've got to do is take it. You see this right here? This is a dollar bill, holding it in my hand. And sir, if I hand this dollar to you and say it's a gift to you, what will you do? Take it. Keep it. That's it. He said, thank you. That's all you've got to do is say thank you. Glory. That's it. All you can do to get saved is just present yourself. And when he saves you, say thank you. That's all you can do. When he fills you with the Spirit, after he fills you, all you can do is say thank you. Just like the good brother did. You can't earn it. It's a gift. You just take it. 10 seconds after we pray, you ought to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. You ought to be speaking in other tongues. What are the requirements, Brother Swagger? There's only one, just one. Not two, not four, not ten. One requirement, and that's to be born again, saved. Jesus said, whom the world cannot receive. If you're not saved, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. Understand? And that's the reason some of our Pentecostal friends that seek the Holy Spirit in an unsaved condition get wrong spirits. Because you're opening yourself up to the spirit world. And if you're born again, Jesus said, I'll protect you. If you ask for fish, you won't get a serpent. If you ask for bread, you won't get a stone. Are you understanding me? So the only requirement is to be saved. If you're saved, that's it. You're ready. You say, well, my preacher told me I'm not ready. He's wrong. You're ready. You said, well, something down inside told me I'm not ready. That something's wrong. You're ready. You say, well, Brother Swaggart, you don't understand. I've got a problem with temper or this or that or the other. Well, you need the Holy Spirit worse than anybody. Hallelujah. I'm not making jokes either. You need him to come in and help you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, in a few moments, I will ask these people that are already spirit-filled to lay hands on you. And you can't fill them. You can't fill them. You just be his hand extended. I want you to lay hands on them speaking in tongues. And when they lay hands on you, down inside of you, Jesus said, out of your belly. And it really means your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Inside of you, you will sense or feel or hear words that are not English or any other language you learned in college or at your mama's knee. You will sense words and phrases that's not your normal language. That's the Holy Spirit giving the utterance. He will give the utterance. That's all he will do. He will not speak for you. He will not force you to speak. He will not make you speak or coerce you into speaking. He'll give the utterance. You do the speaking. That's the reason some Pentecostals seek the Holy Spirit for 40 years. It's because the Holy Spirit gives the utterance and they won't speak. We've got professional seekers in churches. They've been there for 30 years, and they can receive just like that. Just surrender. When you sense it, start saying it. Start speaking it. You say, that'll be me. Yes, you're the one we're trying to get filled. Hallelujah. Praise God. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there cometh one after me who is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to kneel down and kiss his feet. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm not the baptizer. They aren't, as much as I respect them. He is. Now, I want you to bow your heads, please. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to even lift your hands as a sign of surrender, if you will. And I'm going to ask every person that's spirit-filled when I tell you to lay hands on them. Don't do it till I tell you to. But when I tell you to do it, lay hands on them, expecting them to receive. And the moment they lay hands on you, don't start begging the Lord to fill you. Just ask him one time. Just ask. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then start speaking the words down inside that he gives you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's standing here today. I pray for everyone but television, the millions that are watching. Some are hungry for the Holy Spirit. In the mighty and the holy name of Jesus, I'm asking, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would move, that he would fall as he fell on Cornelius and his household, and on the day of Pentecost, that he would fall on these proceedings and baptize, dearest Jesus, every single believer in the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. We take authority over every spirit of doubt, over every religious spirit. In the name of Jesus, we shut their mouths and shut their thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking that the same Spirit of God that was poured out on the day of Pentecost be poured out here in Raleigh, North Carolina. In the name of Jesus Christ, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Lay hands on them now in Jesus' name.
About the infilling of the Holy Spirit, please write and request offer number 525. You'll receive these two booklets absolutely free of charge, entitled The Baptism in the Holy Ghost and How to Receive the Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Address your letter to Jimmy Swigert, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70821.
What a delight to have been with you today. You don't want to miss next week. You've got to get this book, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We've just written it. It's brand new. Call us, 504-768-7000, if you would like. Put it on your credit card, MasterCard, Visa, or Discover card, whatever size gift that you would want. And as I said, if you don't have anything, we'll send it to you postage paid and free of charge. But do the best you can, please. We need the funds to keep coming to you and your home and to touch this world for Jesus Christ. We love you and God bless you.
Salvation is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is His gift to the church. Together, they remind us of our hope and our mission. Order your free Cross and Dove pins today. Today's program was sponsored by the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For further information and to discover other sermons, visit us at ChristianSermonsOnline.com.